Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Thursday. In fact, a thirsty Thursday. And a couple of notes that I should give you as we're about an hour out from the Fellas of the Drive taking way. They will be out at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Tomball. And I got to get that dress for you. Oh, man, I had it for just a second.
What is that address?
I just lost it. I should have known that was coming. It is 14215 FM 2920, which is Tomball Parkway. So it's out there in Tomball. Make sure you go say what's up to the fellas, get you some wings, get you some drinks, enjoy that. And then also listen to the fellas, of course. Mm-hmm. As you should, in generally, keeping it locked right here on Sports Radio 610. But in the 2 o'clock hour, I believe Mario Edwards.
Oh wow, that's
will be
good.
Joining the fellas, yeah. So that'll be good. I love that every time I'm scrambling for an address, I see it on the YouTube. I see it on the text line 8507 Queens Boulevard. All right, Davis Mills time, baby.
Yes, it is.
D'Amico Ryans said it flat out. Said it straight up.
Even on the follow-up, they wanted to clarify.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People were like, wait, did I hear what I just heard? Yeah. Yep. They don't expect C.J. Stroud to play, and C.J. Stroud will not play. It will be Davis Mills as the starting quarterback. As evidenced by the fact that after D'Amico speaks, they put Davis Mills up on the podium. Right? Yeah. Like that. Yeah. It is full Davis Mills week. Mm-hmm. Do you have optimism? Because it seems like, John Lopez, you have a good amount of optimism here.
That's a good way to put it. Hear me out. All right.
It's always great when you have to start a conversation like, hey, all right, just stick with me. All right, you got me?
Hear me out. No, I'm really just kidding with that. I think there is reason for some optimism. Now, look, let's preface it by completely acknowledging he ain't C.J. Stroud if you didn't know that already.
Really?
Yeah, if you didn't know. C.J. Stroud is your franchise quarterback that can do some amazing things. Now, we know there's been struggles here and there, but you're not going to get what you expect out of C.J. Stroud. But there are reasons to believe that it's not even just he's going to get reps this week. You know, that helps, and they've talked about it. He talked about it. But here, my biggest thing about C.J. Stroud, and you can have some optimism, this is why you kept him, man.
Who, Davis?
Davis Mills. This is why, you know, and maybe he could have asked for a trade. Maybe he could have moved on from him. Maybe he could have gone Graham Mertz and all that stuff. But you kept him because he started 25 games in the NFL. He's played. He's got over 6,000 yards passing. He's won some big games. He's won games against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Playing the Jaguars, you know, the wide-eyed, you know, backup, getting in, that's not going to affect him at all. So in terms of just like, and I don't mean to sound like, you know, coach speak or D'Amico or whatever, but like this is why you kept him, because he's a veteran backup. You don't want to win six games with Davis Mills, but you want him to win one or two for you. Like this is a big factor in why the Texans should have a little optimism.
I hear the thought process there, and I think pursuant to that is why I was kind of disappointed in when he stepped in, admittedly against the difficult Broncos defense and without Patrick Surtain, but I was disappointed because...
And with no reps that week.
And with no reps, right? We've talked about those things, and I don't want to negate them by any means, but I would have expected that a dude like that can step in and not sail balls when he has open receivers that are at least reasonably open that he can get the football to, and that was the thing that felt weird. Now, to be fair, I've seen many a starting quarterback have a game where they're just kind of... They're off and they're sailing the ball. The ball is always high. I think that, but if that's what you're selling on the idea of, hey, there's a dude who is some level of vet that could step in and do what he needs to, that's one of the things I was hoping. I know you were talking about some of the thoughts. I want to go to D'Amico, who, like, why do you have Davis Mills here? What is it about Davis Mills that makes you confident in him that other people might not know?
Davis is he's a super, super smart guy, sharp guy. Just seeing how he operates in the huddle, I mean, just seeing how he can fix things when we're not all the way right. When guys are coming out of the huddle, they have questions, Davis gets it fixed very quickly, articulates it very well in the huddle. And now it's about post-snap. Like, post-snap, can we go through? Can we make the proper reads? Can we get to the right spot with the football? And can we just execute, right? Davis doesn't have to do too much, right? We just all have to do our job. Nobody has to step up, do anything different. Everybody just has to execute and do their job, what they're here for, is to go out and play good football. And that's all we're expecting them to do this Sunday.
Can I tell you, John Lopez, mm-hmm. I'm not much of a mathematician. I know those are words, but I think the math isn't quite mathing there,
mm-hmm.
because one of the things that we've talked about with this offense in general is how much CJ Stroud has placed upon him.
Right.
I get it, and I don't disagree with the D'Amico, and I don't think that he's lying to us when he says that Davis Mills is getting guys in the right place, kind of doing those executive function things. He ain't CJ Stroud in doing all the processing and making all these decisions and checks in the midst of the game. But then also, and I understand the reason why you say this as a coach, but also D'Amico Ryan's at the same time saying, hey, don't nobody else need to do more. That's not adding up that mm-hmm. Davis Mills is going to come in and do the same thing that CJ did. And even then, with CJ doing those things, you were having a hard time breaking even and getting into the black on your account offensively. The math isn't mathing for me in that way, and I hope that you're right, that you're right, and that D'Amico's right, that this is what Davis brings, and with the opportunity to actually game plan for him, that he'll be able to give you all those things. It's hard for me to get there, dog. It's hard.
I'm kind of on the other side. We don't know if he can do the exact same thing, see the same things, get into the right plays like C.J. Stroud. But one thing we do know, and this is the second point I was going to make, why there might be reason for optimism, is this offense was not built around Stroud. Stroud was asked to fit this offense.
Sure.
This is not going to be like the Eagles losing Jalen Hurts or the Ravens losing Lamar Jackson. You know, Davis Mills, and we can go back to training camp in the preseason. He was probably picking up from our eyes, probably picking up the offense better than C.J. Stroud early on. We talked about it.
Yeah, and how much of that do you then?
It's been a while.
It has been a while. And how much of that do you look at and you go, hey, that is our defense?
Well, sure.
Right?
Sure. But again,
how much does that familiarity factor in? And mm-hmm. maybe that's unfair to bring up, but that is something that absolutely comes to mind here. I'm not trying to say that Davis Mills has no chance.
Right.
It's just, I got to admit, it is difficult to get there. But I'm with you there. Like, mm-hmm. there was the reasons to be optimistic that I thought of as well when you mm-hmm. go giving him the full week. One of the things that is tough, though, is D'Amico, or sorry, not a, just, how is Davis Mills against the zone? Or,
sure.
Because I feel like that is something that C.J. Stroud does incredibly well, is find these guys mm-hmm. When they're in zone, when they sit down and get the ball to them. How is Davis Mills in that?
Because then that also come back to how good is he at the line of scrimmage? And that's what really it's going to come down to.
To some degree.
You know, and you heard D'Amico talking about how smart he is. We've seen little hints. It's been a while, but of him picking up the offense. And, oh, by the way, he's kind of run this offense more than C.J. Stroud in terms of experience because he, you know, when Tim Kelly was the offensive coordinator, that was a Patriots offense, man.
Sure.
That was a Patriots offense. Davis Mills, that was his rookie year. So he started games. So I really feel like we don't know. I mean, he may spit the bit and just be awful. He may just be inaccurate, as we talked about earlier. But
I don't think that he's going to just be purely inaccurate. I think that probably was the circumstances of that game.
Mm-hmm.
It just made me wonder, like, okay, how ready is he to step in the way that we had probably thought that he would be?
Yeah, but for me anyway, the experience, you know, many years in the league, been there, done that, started games. This offense, he's run it in the past, even before C.J. Stroud was here. You know, it's not built around Stroud. It's built around the quarterback making the calls. I think he's going to be at least, you know, adequate doing that from all signs that we've seen. But then the ultimate reason why, you know, I think there's reason for optimism. The formula to a win doesn't change. You're not, you know, this is not about Davis Mills being awesome. It was never really about C.J. Stroud being awesome. How many times do you hear him say, you know, the style of the offense, get into the right read, sure. make the right call, the right throw, all that. That doesn't change. You still have that defense. I mean, you still have probably the best defense in the NFL. So if he just can process those things as we've talked about and heard about and run the offense and be comfortable and show some of that experience, I'm not saying they're going to win, and I don't know how I'm going to land on this game. But this is not a, like, oh, my gosh, they've got no chance.
No, and to be fair, I guess it has sounded like that for me. The idea that this is going to be better offensively is the question that I have. Now, maybe it looks different, and also it is worth noting, again, that you're not playing in a vacuum. There's a particular opponent that you're playing against, and this one is somewhat familiar. Obviously, you have a different head coach with a different offensive system over there in Jacksonville. And a different defense, that's fair, to be fair. But, I mean, this is you've seen some of these players before. And looking at it, there's some metrics that, you know, when it comes to pass rushing, the Jags are 20th. When it comes to run stopping, the Jags are 29th. Like, does that help you? Are you able to be more effective running the football, which helps just no matter what with this offense, helps significantly?
And that doesn't matter who the quarterback is.
Are you able to protect better than you were for Davis last week where, you know, you have Sean Payton making the note in post, or not even post game, the day after, talking about how, well, yeah, you look over there, and once they change to Davis Mills, we can rush different, right? Mm-hmm. How much does that change if you know that they can't rush you in the same way? Although Josh Hines Allen has gotten a lot of pressure, even if he hasn't had sacks, Trevon Walker has been better. Like, they have some guys that can get after, but if you can find a way to protect up a little better, if you can run the ball a little bit better, are you able to find more success for Davis Mills here? That's also a point where I go, okay, I can see where you're getting some hope from.
Yeah, and then there's also the personnel aspect of this. You know, maybe you're going to have, D'Amico Ryans was telling the truth, and he is going to see more of the young guys. And you heard Pete Prisco on our show just about an hour ago, and they do need that speed on the field. You know, that's what's been lacking, you know, the breakaway speed. Maybe they will throw the ball more to Nico, not just in the first half. I mean, it also just comes from the game plan, how they're going to use the personnel, and then him getting into the right play.
And I'm talking a lot about Davis. How much of this also falls on, will your game plan actually be successful for him? Like, this is going to be a real interesting testament to game plan offense, because there's nothing more that you're game planning for than the quarterback. Like, how do we see, or what variations do we see on what this offense is, even though our offense or whatever is what they will continue to say, what variations do we see in play calling for Davis Mills as opposed to C.J. Stroud? I don't even know what the particular answer to that is, but I think it'll be telling if there are some things that are some nuanced and different, or if it ends up looking kind of similar. I think that call, it would be
called. I can tell you what one of them is going to be. I could tell you for sure what one of the adjustments in the game plan is going to be. They always talked about C.J. Stroud getting rid of the ball quick. Davis Mills has to get rid of the ball quick.
I think he was trying to when he first got in the game.
He can move around a little bit, but he ain't C.J. Stroud.
No.
You know, so he's going to get some pressure, and he's going to have to get rid of it quick, which maybe that works against him because, you know, Jaguars know that as well.
Text line from the 832, optimistic that Mills will get 250-plus yards and one touchdown. Not optimistic in the offense being what wins us the game. Well, if he throws for 250 and one touchdown, how many times has that happened this year?
That's right.
Like, that's what you mean, the offense being what wins. I mean, to be fair, the defense is always going to win you the game, but goodness gracious.
They must got Trevor Lawrence going off on this game.
Well, yeah. My question was, is it one touchdown and five field goals? I don't know.
Well, that gets a little tough.
With what kicker, right?
What kicker?
Right. And maybe that's ultimately, like, how much you ultimately care about Davis Mills is also a question, because how much does that matter considering how much this team leans on the field goal kicker, or at least has in very recent history. So,
and Kiami's not going to play.
No.
Yeah.
That was the one that I think D'Amico came into that press conference comfortable with letting people know that CJ wasn't going to play. That was clearly obvious.
But he let that slip.
That one felt like, it felt to you like that as well?
Yeah, because at the very end, it was just kind of a walkaway line when he was asked about Kaimi's status, and he said, with him down. And that's very much coach speak for, he ain't going to play this week, you know?
And you know, one of the tougher things that, again, we didn't mention here, but I should, again, when it comes to Davis Mills up there, he's got a weaker offensive line than CJ's had to this point.
Yeah.
Titus Howard likely not playing makes this tougher. Does the Blake Fisher on the right side. Now, of course, it's not his blind side, thankfully, but Titus Howard being out and Blake Fisher playing at right guard.
I was good with Titus Fisher.
Well, there's disrespect in there somewhere. I don't, you can decide to who and for what reason. But I think that that makes this a little bit more difficult, especially when you talk about getting the football out and all those things. That's tougher. You're stretching the offensive line.
Yeah.
You might not have the benefit of the six, you know, the six offensive linemen. And if you do, you it's six offensive linemen that haven't done it in the same amount of reps as what you previously had. This this is a tough situation for Davis Mills. It's not like it's impossible, though, and I think that's ultimately what you're trying to get across.
I think there's optimism. That doesn't mean a damn thing in terms of once you get punched in the mouth.
Fair enough. Looking forward to this game in a weird way. Like, maybe you have morbid curiosity, but I think still there's something to be said for this game. I mean, if you have the slightest bit of hope, it hinges on you getting a win this Sunday.
Yeah.
Right, for the season, it hinges on getting to win, and that's falls on the hands of Davis Mills and what he's able to do under center. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next is the time where we hand things over to one Figgy Fig for the mixtape. What you got, man?
Yeah, so you won't believe what is the top Google search this week. I got the top Google search this week. Plus, I think we're going to have to check our addresses just in case somebody might be out here using it for a certain something.
8507. All right, we'll do all that next.
Yes.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is the Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Thursday. Happy Thursday to everyone out there. The number one thing that was searched on Google this past week.
I'm so afraid of the answer here.
I'm
too.
Trying to guess.
There's a few things that have happened kind of in the cultural zeitgeist that make me concerned as to what the actual answer is here.
Can I guess?
Yeah, you could take a guess.
And I kind of cheated. I'm looking at what's trending on Twitter, not looking Google.
Look at him cheating. That's crazy.
I admitted it, so it's not cheating if you admit it.
That's not how that works at all. Like, I stole that, but I told you I stole it, so who cares?
Is it something to do with the air traffic controllers?
Nah.
Okay, well, then I'm out.
All right, so the number one thing people been searching this week on Google is when does Christmas music start on the radio?
I'm glad to know that we, like, okay, is this American or is this like the world?
I'm guessing it's American.
Okay.
I'm guessing it's American. So
I'm glad that we as Americans have our priorities straight.
Yeah, so a new report this week found over two dozen stations around the U.S. switched over and started playing all Christmas music this past weekend.
It's just a race to be first. Yeah. Like, I'm with D'Amico Ryan's here. Like, y'all just racing to be first, and it's messing stuff up.
You media guys.
That outside noise,
yep.
Jingle bells and all that
crap. That's right.
Yeah. Yes.
We ain't even get to Thanksgiving
Mariah
yet.
Mariah Carey.
I know. Oh, man, I don't want to hear that one. I'd rather hear every other Christmas song rather than that one.
Some Bing Crosby.
It's funny. I know you guys, it's on your timeline as well. Like, the day after Halloween, and certainly this week, I've seen a lot of people already putting up our decorations.
Hey,
and I'm like,
screw. Hey, timeline. That's going on in my household now.
Oh, that's right.
My wife.
One of those.
Yeah. She was telling me, I want to say it was a week ago today.
Right.
Don't forget to bring the Christmas stuff down from the attic.
Oh, no.
I'm like, come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't put the tree up yet, but I had to bring the stuff down. I brought it down that Sunday.
I feel like it's annoying still to me, but I understand it to some degree with, like, Christmas decorations in the house. Because it's like, we pay for these for such a short period of time in the year. That kind of want to get your money's worth. I imagine,
man,
that
she was bringing it up before Halloween.
That's crazy.
Man.
you know the one decoration that I'm actually like 100% good with is in the gallery when they start putting up the extra lights.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
And the real
the streets are already in a lot. River Oaks has it. And I saw another.
the only reason why I'm good with that is because that daylight saving time ends and it's already dark out. So I'm like, yeah, you might as well have some lights in here. It's cool. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's that time of the year, guys. And it was another stat that I saw too. They say, I guess the top trending Christmas songs over the past month, according to Google, are Oh Holy Night, Deck the Halls, and The Little Drummer Boy.
Yeah, old school. All three of them.
Those are just classic, I imagine.
All three of them.
832, why is everybody skipping right over Thanksgiving and Hanukkah music on the radio? Point well taken, yes. And maybe that's the reason why. Maybe we just need to go ahead and start making some Thanksgiving bangers so that we can, you know, we can box out the Christmas music. Maybe that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for all my SiriusXM listeners, and I'm including myself in this one because I'm an avid listener of that because I can't play any music from my phone via my Bluetooth.
Wait, what? That feels like that's a story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I told y'all about this. My phone can't connect in my car.
Yeah.
So I got to listen to nothing but radio. So just straight up old school radio. Mm-hmm. I switched from the 610 and then FM and then if I want to listen to music, I got like five different channels I go back and forth with on XM Radio. Mm. But they just launched the holiday channel on Tuesday. So
it's too much. Too soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Very too soon.
But also, I'm not your daddy. Do what you want. I'm just saying. For me over here, it feels too soon.
It ain't nothing I can do. I just got to roll with it in my household. It's the mixtape in the loop. Sports Radio 610. Figgy Fig holding it down on a Thursday. So you might want to check your address. Have you ever Googled your address or put your address in Google Maps by chance to try to see what come up?
Well, when I'm driving, if I'm in a place that I'm not familiar how to get out of, you know what I mean, or haven't been there.
Yeah. So apparently this happened to a local couple here in Houston. Took a drive to, I want to say, West Texas.
Okay.
And put their address in. And something interesting popped up when they put their address in. And let's go to ABC 13 with this crazy story.
Sarah Wright said that she was coming home from West Texas a couple of weeks ago and put in her address to get back. She said she saw it was listed on Google as weed delivery recreational cannabis. Why? Well, she and her husband have no clue. We looked up weed delivery recreational cannabis on the Secretary of State's website, and no such entity is registered here. We also called the number that was attached to the listing. It said the mailbox was full, but we were able to link that number back to two other alleged dispensaries. The whole situation, as you might imagine, made the family uneasy. They told us that at least four people stopped by, thinking their home was something that they say it most certainly was not.
I've got my toddler here. This was actually yesterday. I answer the door and she's like running around, and I open the door and he's like kind of like deer in a headlights look, like, because it doesn't look like we would have stacks of cash and boxes of weed like in the pictures show. And yeah, he just asked me, he was like, do you sell weed here? And I said, no, it's a scam, like, you know, and then just shut the door.
Well, it's not a scam, because what's the scam there?
The scam is using my address for something that's not there.
But how do they benefit from that?
Yeah.
Is it branding? Is it like advertising?
I have no idea. I don't know. Maybe it could have been just a mistake or something like that. But
I also, there's a few things that went through my head. First, when she was like, does it look like we have boxes of cash? And I was like, wow, that's stereotypical. Yeah. But I forgot there's like a visual element.
No,
that we're not
no, the picture that popped up was stacks of cash and weed.
But the real thing that I thought was, Where did this happen again? Because depending on it, like, what state were you in that you thought you was just going to Google up the weed place?
It was here.
Yeah, so like,
yeah. Yeah.
Why did you think you was just going to get the dispensary straight up like that on the Google Maps?
Well, a lot of these, as I understand it, a lot of these places are
a friend
like
of yours,
CBD
huh?
places that have a back door.
Yeah,
you know, we know there's a bunch of those.
Where's the one that you frequent?
It might be, you know, kind of on my block.
What's your address again?
No.
8507 Queens Boulevard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, just make sure, just check your address once in a while to make sure it ain't nothing crazy going on.
I actually saw that once not long ago. Somebody said, they were like waving, go to the back, go to the back. I'm like, oh, okay, I know what's going on.
So I wonder, when you go to these CBD places, if you really want the good stuff, do you got to give a code or something? Or do a little wink, wink.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it
like I'm here for the stuff?
I would not know. I'm a good Christian boy. I don't know what y'all talking about.
See, I watch a lot of Law and Order, where you go in the Chinese restaurant, mm-hmm. and then it's just like, oh, it's the back, back door.
That's
okay,
where it is.
And then back there, that's where the mafia hanging out, playing cards.
I would
stuff
like
an
order of pork ribs.
Pork ribs.
Yeah, you mean all pork ribs?
Yeah. Follow me.
Yeah.
And then you go on to the back and see a whole strip club back there or something.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's the Mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610. I got to give a special salute to one of my guys, one of my good friends here at Sports Radio 610, the one and only Chris Santiago.
Yeah, man.
So, Chris, I actually just found out, I think Reggie broke the news to me. I didn't see it. I missed Area 45 last night, but he's running. If you don't know who Chris is, he's the producer for Area 45 with Creighton and Bajani. And he is leaving Sports Radio 610. And you actually broke the news to me, Reggie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw the video. And, man, Santiago has been fantastic. I wish I would have had more opportunities to like, spend time with him to this point. And obviously, mm-hmm. it's not like he's leaving the city or nothing, so I'll still have opportunities in the future. But his work speaks for itself. Real quiet dude, but fantastic at what he does. And it shines through, man. He does a fantastic job and, you know, where he will be greatly missed.
Yeah, love the kid. I mean, absolutely. Everything you said and more. I mean, it just it's a loss, but I'm sure, you know.
Yeah,
we'll have
he was one of our better producers here, man. Somebody
go ahead and power rank him right quick.
Power rank? Oh, nah, I ain't got power. Me, number one.
No, clearly.
Yeah, there we
of
go.
Of course.
There we go. Playing.
But, Chris is amazing, man. He actually held it down before Reggie got here mm-hmm. when they had me and Lopez hosting the show. He held it down. Super cool dude. And for those, if you listen to the night show, you probably know this, but he's a Giants fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea how he became a Giants fan.
I think
New York.
His dad was from there, if I'm remembering it correctly. I mean, he's from here.
Yeah, he's from here, but his dad probably
was from New York.
Yeah,
and just kind of by
so
osmosis.
He's like he'll come in once in a while in a Giants mm-hmm. jersey. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how you become a Giants fan? But salute to Chris. And also, I got to give a thanks for nothing before we get out of here.
I love the good thanks for nothing.
Yeah, thanks for nothing to the workers in this small convenience store. And you probably looking at me like, what the hell are you talking about, man? So here's a story about a great pianist named Max, and he went all the way to the store and didn't get his damn burrito.
The original Facebook post from his owner says, "My daughter came home around 11:30 last night and accidentally let out our Great Pyrenees, Max. He's figured out that the workers at our small town convenience store will feed him breakfast burritos when he shows up in the morning. He walked 7 miles to town for that breakfast burrito. The C store opens late on Sundays, so we think he got tired of waiting and walked across town to her boyfriend's house. He's never been to the boyfriend's house. He then walked back to the C store. His human woke up to several notifications on his two GPS collars, which means he probably has done this before. Max left home at 11:39 p.m. He arrived at the C store at 2:01 a.m. And then his journey is documented there. And then he's got one of those fee collars, which is like documents his walk. 17,000 steps. It took him 2 hours. And he walked over 5 miles just in that one stretch. This is when they found him.
Well, you come here and nobody feeds you, so you're sad and you sit out in the back. Is that what happens?
God, I love this.
Get in.
He was all muddy.
Yeah.
He was just standing there looking all sad.
It's like, I wanted my burrito.
Thanks for nothing, man. Why do I have his burrito ready?
Right. Like, y'all need to know. And this is the thing, right? Because Max is my hero first and foremost.
Yes.
Like, whatever lengths to get yourself a nice burrito. However, You're not going to tell me that Max just got hungry and was like, well, let me go see if they got burritos. Because we all know animals have incredible sense of timing. Like, they know.
Routines and all that stuff.
So I know that that was on them, right? I'm sure that he was like, all right, getting about 3 o'clock, about time to go get that burrito. Let's go ahead. And he got over there like, all right, where the burrito at?
I wonder if
the burrito?
I wonder if he just had a taste. Like, man, I got a taste for something. Man. Yeah, let me go get this.
I'm craving a burrito.
Yeah, let me get out here and go get this burrito. Man, I wonder how long he sat out there.
Oh, you know, it was a long time.
Yeah.
You know it.
Dogs would sit there a long time. It was a couple times I left my dog out in the backyard to use the bathroom and all that stuff. And when he finished, he just sit at the door all proper.
Yeah.
I totally forgot. I was sitting there watching TV. I'm like, oh, man. I'm thinking he probably just snuck out and probably out looking for a burrito or something. He's still sitting
there.
Nice and proper. I'm like, dang, my fault, man.
Damn time.
That's what happened. Whoever was supposed to bring the burrito out to him didn't bring it out. Max is just like, well, let me go get them because she clearly over at her boyfriend's house.
How did she walk across town?
I have no idea. But they got that
scent?
I don't know. He never been over there.
But maybe scent, he knew the
that's a strong ass scent, man.
Hey, they've got 1,000 times or 5,000 times.
Max is about his burrito.
Yeah.
Let me find out that they're late with his burrito one more time.
Come on, man. Thanks for nothing.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Man.
There you go. A little mixtape here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. Again, shout out to Santiago. His final show is Friday. Friday is the final Area 45. For Chris Santiago. Make sure you reach out to him. Appreciate him. He does a fantastic job here, and we love him greatly at this station. All right, coming up next, we get ready to hand things off to the Fellas of the Drive. They are broadcasting from the Buffalo Wild Wings in Tomball off of Tomball Parkway. Before we get to that, though, B. Scott was out at practice, and he has an interesting theory. It's a theory, but he has one that I kind of want to talk about a little bit. If you don't mind, let's do that next. Does it matter what your lawyer looks like?
Yeah, I think so.
Figgy, you think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Damon Jones, there's video on ESPN, and I imagine other places, but obviously we have it on ESPN here in the studio. Damon Jones being arraigned, so he's walking in to the walking into the courthouse. Him and his, you know, alongside him are both of his lawyers. One of his lawyers out here.
Oh, I see it now.
In a hat,
he looking like Andre 3000 right there.
I don't even know. What do you describe that hat as, Figgy?
It looked like
it's made out of cork. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah. It looked like a wool Scully, like a very strong.
But it's thick.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It looked like a Scully made like a thick wool. What is that, velvet?
It's like a vanilla wafer.
Huh. Okay, sounds like you're ready to get home and get yourself some late lunch. He said, it looks like vanilla wafer. If you're ready to get yourself lunch, I got a suggestion for you is the word I was looking for. Go out to Tomball. Head out to I don't see the vanilla wafer.
just showing him a picture of
vanilla
wafer.
He's like, all you're doing there is it's kind of the same color almost. but yeah, if you want to get yourself a late lunch, head out to the Buffalo Wild Wings and Tomball right off Tomball Parkway. That's where the Fellas of the Drive are. Obviously, they have gifts, giveaways, as they always do. And then you can hang out with the fellas, Clint and Ron. That's always a fun thing to do as well. They'll be there from 2 to 6, and in that 2 o'clock hour, they will talk to Mario Edwards off of the practice field as well. So not off the practice field, but they'll talk to him as well. So, yeah, that's something to keep an eye on. But something that was happening at practice, because our very own B. Scott, who is everywhere all the damn time, I don't even know how he's able to do it. He's noticing something on the field, and this is a theory that he has based off of what he's seen at practice. Because I was going back and forth with him, and the theory that he has is based off of obviously the portion of practice that the media is allowed to see. They're not out there for all of it. Trent Brown is clearly the backup plan in his estimation.
Okay. Okay.
Tackle.
That's what he's looking at.
And then Jarrett Kingston, the additional guard tackle, what have you, is the backup plan for the sixth offensive line if Fisher's playing right tackle is the way that he goes. So it wouldn't necessarily be, and mind you, Kingston is on the active roster. I believe Trent Brown is still on the practice squad. He'd elevate it, right?
Yeah.
Because he was inactive. So like he's also on the. But the idea being from B. Scott in his estimation, right, that you would have both of them active, mind you, Jarrett Kingston has yet to be active this season,
right?
And neither has Trent Brown, right? That both of them would be active, and Trent Brown would serve as the backup for Blake Fisher, but he thinks Jarrett Kingston would be your sixth tackle.
Wow.
Or your sixth offensive
lineman. So that says a lot about Trent Brown.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Says a lot about Trent Brown.
And, of course, this is him surmising. I want to make it abundantly clear. This isn't like this is what D'Amico or anybody said.
Sure.
Not even explicit, but that's the way that he's
along.
Doing it.
Right. We're playing along with
I just want to make sure that my boy B. Scott don't end up in alerts where they're like, B. Scott said that this is.
We're playing along with a theory of Trent Brown backup. Just keep it real simple. Trent Brown backup. Blake Fisher, right tackle. And then
Jarrett Kingston is eligible.
Kingston is sort of this swing tackle jumbo package.
That's the way that it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I just wonder inherently outside of all of this is just, hey, what does that mean for you that if all those guys are active, right? Because that's probably an additional lineman or one more lineman you would normally have active.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how does that hit you?
Well, look. I think the way it hits me more than anything is big picture. Certainly you're going to have to adjust on the roster if it is. I'm not sure if it is one more than they usually. But anyway, either way, it doesn't matter. You are weaker in the offensive line. You know, Blake Fisher, and you pointed this out. I was kind of giving him some kudos, you know, as the getting a lot of reps as the tight end and in the so-called jumbo package and all that. But when you really broke down the pass blocking when he was having a pass block there, wasn't much better. Now he's your right tackle. And it says a lot about, you know, the confidence level you're going to have there. It trickles down to, you know, what is Davis Mills going to do in terms of being able to get rid of the ball? You've got a guy that's never been active having to play that swing role. So Trent Brown is just going down the list. He's like a break glass in emergency.
Sure.
You know?
Right. I mean, that one's obvious. Yeah. I just find it interesting, the idea that they might like Jarrett Kingston more to be able to do that six tackle thing, which maybe that has to do with like agility. Why do you think that? Because Trent Brown, I know, you know, big Trent Brown, but they trust him enough to have him on this roster. It feels like that would not be too different than just getting out there as that additional guy.
It's looking like a mistake. Cam Robinson and Trent Brown, you know, Casario's guys, where are they? Those dudes were brought in to play right and left tackle.
And when you say, where are they? One of them is Cam Robinson is no longer on this team. Do you feel like it was a mistake to send him on his way? Like, do you think that this team, because I think it was very clear that that was kind of a handshake agreement, at least in my estimation, that you kind of came in to be a starter, and we kind of got to a place where we felt like we were actually better off letting Arriante Arcery go ahead and start that role and hold on to it.
Right.
So we'll release you to your destiny. Is that one of those things where they should have played a little bit more hardball? I mean, like, no, actually, you stay here because we might need that depth at tackle.
But again, those are his boys. And so I think he did him a solid. And that happens a lot. And I'm not just saying specifically
here. No, for sure.
You know, a veteran like that has earned his keep. Go ahead and give him a chance to play elsewhere. So I'm not going to say it was a mistake. In retrospect, you know, you obviously wish things were different. To me, it's more of a big picture. Like all the guys they brought in, you're just not getting what you thought or committed to. You know, you're just not getting what you thought, and I think it's a really bad look for Trent Brown.
Yeah, well, I'm very intrigued to see what this looks like there. Even as I'm still wondering how hopeful I am with this offense, there's still little things that I don't know about this team, and not necessarily in a good way. We were talking earlier, and again, appreciation to all the people that have joined the show, whether you text in or whatever, and then also Pete Prisco and ND Kalu for joining us on the phone line. But Pete made a mention of something when we were talking with him rather at noon that stuck with me is the idea of this team not having a burner. Do you feel like that's accurate? And because it hasn't been something that I've thought about like in a huge way. It's something that we've known, especially without Tank Dell there. But it was one of those things that it felt like, oh, well, I mean, they've gotten some passes deep over the in the outside of the field. And then obviously when Jalen Noll does play, him over the middle has been effective. But it does feel like they don't quite have that same burner.
I mean, they have Jalen Noll, and that's the closest thing. Obviously, you mentioned Tank Dell is not going to be available, or doesn't seem like he's going to be available. Christian Kirk probably is.
I don't think he's considered.
Probably, you know, fit that role. Actually, he did fit that role for a long time, but he's not there anymore. He's more of a crosser, possession type guy. So I don't think he's too far off. And the other thing is, they're still not using Jalen Noll. Let's see if they do what D'Amico was talking about. I mean, Braxton Berrios is the guy that they have, you know, playing those. It's bizarre, man. It just makes you rub your face and wonder what the heck is going on.
That is the continued feeling, right? Yeah. No matter what we're talking about, it just kind of keeps coming back to this place where you're trying to figure out what this looks like. I actually want to give you an opportunity to weigh in on this because I asked this question and you had to kind of get going yesterday. We talked about it with Clint Ron as we were cross talking. And again, those guys are out at the Buffalo Wild Wings and Tomball today.
I got a new crown.
Do you? Congratulations.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say to that, to be completely honest. Do you at all miss Bobby Slowick? Because interestingly enough, it feels like at least with Show and Ron, they were kind of coming to the idea of that it was a bad idea for them to fire Bobby Slowick when they did.
Yeah, I heard that. I don't think I'm anywhere close to I miss Bobby Slowick. I think it needed to change. I think it was not so much the offense that he ran as the person that he was. Not that he was a bad person, but he was just headstrong. The problem with Bobby Slowick was he was inflexible. The offense worked.
Well,
for stretches.
What do you say to, because again, I thought there was an interesting thought in there that maybe the inflexibility did not come from Slowick himself. Maybe that came from people that were above him, whether that's coach or
general. I can tell you Slowick was the messenger. Slowick was very rigid in what he was doing and not wanting to, to change things and personnel and all that. Now, maybe he was sort of the mouthpiece, for someone above him. That's certainly a possibility. But I mean, Bobby Slowick, the offense was good enough for long stretches. I still can't say that I miss him because I think it was more about things other than the offense.
Mm, yeah. Okay. So, well, I'm looking forward to tomorrow where we get ready for this game. We get ready for an NBA Cup game, which I know you wanted me to mention one more time. And we'll be able to talk a little bit more about it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.